revival. And this will be the fourth message. The last one I preached on this was before Christmas, December the 14th. And now we're coming back to that series on steps and stages of revival. You know, revival is kind of like climbing a mountain. You may be in a misty place where it's foggy and you're in the lower regions of the plains, and then you begin to walk up this mountain and you get to a stage and you look out and you're just above the fog, and then you get higher and you can see more and farther, and then you get to the acme, the height, the summit, and you can see everything, and it's beautiful. And that's what we have in Ephesians chapter 3. What I like about Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 and then 13 through about verse 21, is in this thing about revival, you're getting teaching of the Apostle Paul on revival. And, you know, it's one thing to have the history of revival. The book of Acts gives us revival. I believe that the church, as far as the day of Pentecost, the church was not only baptized into Christ and into union with each other by the coming of the Holy Spirit for the first time to permanently indwell the church, but also there was great pouring out of the Holy Spirit's presence and power. And it was so great that it caused a great impact of the gospel in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and it was a great experience of the power of God. And so revival, there are certain things of Pentecost that were historical, but revival is a repeat of the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit to provide power so that we can be witnesses for God more effectively in the world. And the way we've described it is this: revival is a supernatural work of God by means of the Spirit of God to make a subnormal church get back to New Testament norm of power and practice. And that is what we need today. Most Christianity today, though they may profess to have revival, do not really have revival. Do not have what the Bible describes as revival. That's what we need, a re-Bible revival. We need to have it like Jesus said, he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, as the Scripture has said. So this is a scriptural experience, and you can pray for this in faith, but if you're going to pray for it in faith, I believe we have to have teaching. And so that's why the Apostle Paul wrote the epistles of Paul, to give teaching on the Christian life. And part of the Christian life is what I've been preaching on in Ephesians 3, verse 1 and verse 13 through 21, and that is revivals. And desiring these experiences of revivals. And so, let me say it again, revival is a supernormal work of God by means of the Spirit of God to take a subnormal church and bring us back to New Testament normal power and practice for living. And there are steps and stages to get to the place of the pouring out of the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. In other words, a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit for soul winning power. And there are steps and stages, and we've been looking at this in the last message I preached. Is we talked about the P's in the book of Acts. The first P, if you remember, is also in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. Let me turn back there. And it says in verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." So Paul was being persecuted. Paul was put in jail. By the way, I had a hellacious day last Sunday on my celebration of the birthday. I mean, it was obvious satanic hindrances all day, and it was horrendous. But I knew that it was opposition from Satan because of the blessing of God, you see. opposition always accompanies revival. Persecution. And that is the first P in the book of Acts. Remember that after Pentecost and the revival there and the growth of the church there, they put the apostles in jail. And then they went back in Acts 4 and they were persecuted, and they went back to the church and they had a prayer meeting and they prayed for a fresh baptism of the power of the Holy Spirit. And did they get it? Yeah, it says they did. The place was shaken and they went out, and what did they do? Spoke the word of God with boldness, and more people got saved because of revival. And so that is the P of persecution. That's what Paul had just experienced as well. And then he starts in chapter 3 and verse 14. He says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so after persecution, he now is bowing his knees. He's on both knees and he is praying for the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the next thing. You number one, have persecution. Number two, prayer. And you're praying for the power. And then you have the power of the Holy Spirit poured out. And the gospel was proclaimed then in the power of the Holy Spirit. That brought people, which brought more persecution. But what I said last week, between first persecution, then prayer, and then power, before the pouring out of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, that's what revival is. It's to have the great grace and power of the Holy Spirit poured upon a people. And what is great grace? Great grace is the ability and power to live the Christian life in all the way the Bible says to live it. And it's for all the people to experience that. That's great grace. That is what revival does. You can be low in grace. A church can be subnormal in grace, and a church can have great grace and power. Revival is to have great grace. What's great power? The ability to witness for Christ with effectiveness. So they had a duck or pucker kind of proclamation. When they proclaimed the gospel, the power of God was so great. Either they were cut to the heart and went after them to kill them, or they were cut and repented and turned to the Lord. And so that's great power. But revival is always accompanied with great grace to live the Christian life, and then great power to proclaim it to others, and that is revival. But what we said, now this is important, between prayer for revival and the pouring out of great grace and power, there is preparation. That's a P that we don't have in the book of Acts. We don't talk about it, but it's taught here in Ephesians. And there are steps and stages to get higher and to prepare you for the summit of this thing, which is what revival is all about ultimately. And so tonight we want to look at we have been looking at, last time, the preparing of your pipes for revival. And I compared it to a plumber. I was telling you the other day, you're trying to get this message in your own life because he's had all these plumbing problems. And he's been working real hard in his bathroom to get... I said, I understand that. I had plumbing problems, you know, some through the fire, some through the flood, some through the water. All through the blood. I was always the water and the flood was my thing. And I remember one Thanksgiving at our house, we had the turkey on the table, the whole table was set, all the good stuff there, our family was gathered together, and somebody flushed the toilet upstairs, and the whole toilet basically came down on the turkey from upstairs. It was unbelievable. And we had to deal with that. So I've been there, done that, bought those t-shirts, you know. And so, you know, plumbing problems, amen. But you know, you have to, before a plumber will turn the power of the water on, He wants to make sure the pipes are no clogs in the pipes. And he wants to make sure the pipes don't leak. They're soldered properly. All the joints and everything are. So when he turns that water, and God's the same way, before he'll pour out his grace in your life, he wants to make sure that you're ready for it. He wants to make sure you're prepared for it. And we have been talking about that. So tonight, I want to talk about the preparation for revival from the source of it. I want to kind of go back and look at the source of it, not the plugging up of the pipes or the clogging of the pipes or all of that. I want to look at the source of preparation for revival. And you say, well, basically, what is the source of revival and the preparation of revival? It's the triune God. All right? This is teaching now. I'm giving you teaching from the Word of God. Paul makes it very clear it's coming from the triune God. Notice it's prayer to the Father through the Son. Look at verse 14. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto whom? The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." By the way, a lot of times people pray, "Dear Jesus," or sometimes they say, "Dear Holy Spirit." And I'm not saying a person can't pray to some other member of the Trinity, although I have to go by the Bible. Prayer in the Bible is always to the Father. I talk to the Father all the time. It's prayer to the Father through the Son. We come to the Father clothed in the righteousness of the Son and through the high priesthood of the Son, through the Son, and we pray by means or with the help of the Holy Spirit. And so this prayer for revival is no exception. He's praying for revival, and if you want to pray for revival, learn to pray to the Father for it. By the way, you say, "I don't know about the Father, you know, can I pray to him for these things? The Father's awful august." And yeah, but wait a minute, the Bible says, "As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." And the Bible also goes on to say that ye being fathers love to give good gifts to your children. How much more should your Father in heaven want to give the Holy Spirit to those that ask? And by the way, that is Luke 11. That is, it's not like the Scofield Bible says, "Oh, you shouldn't pray for the Holy Spirit. He was given on the day of Pentecost." Hogwash to that. You should be praying for further supplies of the Holy Spirit. Somebody says it's not for us to get more of the Holy Spirit. It's for the Holy Spirit to get more of us. Well, that is true. We need the Holy Spirit to get more of us. But it's false to say we should not need more of the Holy Spirit. We need greater grace. So that's taking people away from seeking God. "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." I'm talking about the power of the Holy Spirit to do a job for God. And so it says in verse 16, when we're thinking about the source of preparation for revival, verse 16, I'll read it and you follow. It says that he would grant you, that's the Father, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So now you have the Father, the Son, verse 14, and verse 16, the Holy Spirit is the agent, and he is the power that's going to get this prayer answered, and he's going to help you clean out the clogs of pipes of revival. He's going to help you to stop up the leaks of the pipes of revival. And, you know, we talked about leaks like, "Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together as the habit of some is." We talked about the leaks of being forgetful hearers of the Word of God by hearing it on Sunday and forgetting it on Monday, hearing it on Wednesday and forgetting it on Thursday. No, you don't want that. get those leaks out of there. And the Bible says exhort one another daily, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so other believers can stir you up to seek revival and to want more of the influence of the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh God, we need that so much today in our country. I mean, there's so little of real revival in the churches in America today, and we need that so much in our country. And so I want to say you can relate your pipe repair to the triune God and your salvation. You see, the reason why you're saved, if you're saved tonight, is because the Father planned your salvation before you were even born. The Son, Jesus, purchased your salvation for the Father. He died for you, but he died for the Father. And then God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who applied your salvation with power. You say, what are you talking about? Well, when you were unsaved, it says in Ephesians 2 and then verse 1 and verse 5, and you hath he quickened, that's made alive with life in your dead spirit, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. I always say that. You weren't saved by faith. That's what the Apostle Paul, you were saved by grace. And grace even supplied the faith. And how did that come from? From a dead spirit that God had to make alive. How could you even believe if you were dead? God had to quicken you. God had to touch you in your dead spirit with the germ of life so that you could repent of your self-righteousness and trust Jesus Christ and be saved. And you could believe if you got saved, somebody was praying for you. Amen. Somebody was praying for you and pray to the Father through the Son for the Holy Spirit to touch your heart. When I go out soul winning, I pray, God, you prepare people. You prepare people and bring me across their path that have been prepared from before the foundations of the world to get saved. Because when I'm going out soul winning, I'm working with a triune God. I'm not doing it on my own. And I'm saying tonight, the Holy Spirit gives you the quickening of life in your dead spirit so that you can believe on the Lord. You know, that's really brought out next, 13:48. You know, we think of the book of Acts and it's all about soul winning. But let's not forget the work of God and the work of the Father. Here's what it says in Acts 13:48. It says, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Did you hear that? And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Thank God when you go out, God has some that have been ordained to eternal life and they will believe. That's what gives me the strength to go. I know my labor is not going to be in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15. The Bible is very clear about that. And the Bible makes clear that God has ordained those to eternal life. And as you go out and preach the gospel, they will believe. For you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. So the Holy Spirit prepares you for further steps and stages by his strengthening work in your life. And perhaps tonight you don't feel like revival is near. Perhaps tonight you feel like you're very weak and very poor. That's all right. Because before you were saved, you were not just weak, you were dead. Before you were saved, you were blind. Before you were saved, Romans 5 says you were without any strength whatsoever. And if God could take a dead person, God the Father who ordained it, God the Son who paid for it, God the Holy Spirit who performs it, if God the triune God could save you out of death, how much more now that you're saved can he revive you? There's hope for this church. There's hope for Revival Baptist Church to live up to our name and be revived. And so here is an additional step of your receiving great grace and power in your human spirit by the indwelling of the Spirit, so that you can prepare your pipes for the pouring out of revival in your life. And you should realize that if you have a desire to prepare your pipes for the pouring out of revival, that's God. He's working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And so that's why he says in Ephesians 3:16, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. And then Ephesians 1:19 and 20, the apostle wrote about this power of the Holy Spirit to perform the plans and purpose of God in your life. And here's what he says. This is to you who are believers in Christ. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He, that is God the Father, wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. How? By means of the Holy Spirit. And set Him, Christ, at His own right hand in heavenly places. In other words, as you look back to the cross, you see Jesus dying in weakness. You see Him being buried. You see the victory of the world. They thought they had the victory, but don't leave it there. The mighty power of God raised Christ up from the dead, and He ascended into heaven. He's seated now at the right hand of God. It says that same power is at work in you. Because the Holy Spirit of God is in you. You are a believer and He's in you. And you have the power of the Holy Spirit within you. And so when you pray, you have a great expectation for God to work. And the Bible says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. You see, right now, a lot of us have had the flu, or you've had touches of the flu. How many have had some of this flu in their body and you can feel it? Yeah, all right. You don't feel very strong when you have that flu in your body. I'm sure your wife didn't feel very strong, probably in bed more than once. And you see how weak these bodies can become. And you say, what? You know, when you're really sick like that, you feel like you're not going to get better again. You feel like, I just feel like I'm going to be like this for a long time. But God heals you and brings you through it. But you see, the older we get, the more our bodies break down. And the more hopeless it gets. But that's just how God works. Because what is going to change that body in a moment so that it never can get sick again? It can never sin again. It can fly. Not just walk. Not just run. But fly. Have, as it were, super strength. And powers that it doesn't have now. That mortal body, what's going to do that? One of the men tell me, what is going to do that? Brother Kyle.
The second coming of Christ.
The second coming of Christ. But what specifically at the second coming of Christ is going to perform that action?
God is going to glorify our body.
Yeah, God the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you right now, when you get sick, when you get weak, when you sin, when you fail, when you're at your lowest, that same Holy Spirit of God will not be stopped by any of those things making you glorified. You see, that we need to remember, that's in Romans 8 verse 11, the glorification of the body is done by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Yes, it's at the second coming. Yes, it's by God, but it's by the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. And God has a time when the Holy Spirit is going to pour out His power. So God has a time after preparation, when He answers your prayer for revival. And so don't give up if you prayed for weeks, if you prayed for months, if you prayed for years, if you prayed for decades. And some people have prayed and not gotten the promise even in their lifetime. But I believe their prayers will be answered after. after they go. And they pass the baton to somebody else. I think of David Martin Lloyd-Jones. I've benefited from him. How many have ever heard of David Martin Lloyd-Jones? All right. He was a great preacher in the 20th century, especially in up until about the 1960s. And he preached a lot on revival. And he talked a lot about the Welsh revival because he's from Wales. He believed in the sovereignty of God. But he was a great preacher, a great 20th century Puritan preacher type guy. And he's gone. He passed away, I'm not sure, 1970s, somewhere in there. But he passed on teaching on revival. And this teaching in Ephesians chapter 3 is for you, and God is saying to you, you may not feel like revival tonight. You may not think that God can revive you tonight, but listen, the Holy Spirit, if He's in you, He's going to glorify your body, and if He can glorify your body one day, He can pour out great grace and great power in revival in your life. Now, we need to realize that a lot of times we pray and we don't really believe God like we should. How many of you, God has done something and you really didn't have the faith that you thought you should have had? Yeah. I think of the book of Acts, and Peter was in jail and they were praying after James the apostle had been martyred by Herod. They were praying, Lord, deliver Peter. Peter got delivered. He came to the door, knocked on the door. Oh, they said, that's not Peter. That's his ghost, they told Rhoda, the door lady. No, that's his ghost. That's his angel, not Peter. But it was Peter. And they doubted while they were praying. And, you know, the same thing can happen to us. That's why in this same chapter, verse 20, here's what the apostle says. He says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What power is that? The indwelling Holy Spirit. You see that? If God could on the day of Pentecost have the Holy Spirit come down from heaven and indwell them, and not only indwell them, but fill them to overflowing, if God could do that, why can't God, now that the Holy Spirit is in you, just fill you with grace to overflowing? Well, see, He's able to do it. According to the power, it's already at work in your life. And so you're just asking for more of the same from God. And by the way, it glorifies God when you have more grace in your life rather than less grace. And so look at the difference for answered prayer. You see it. And don't despair of God's ability to answer your prayer. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You say, Pastor, why don't you just settle for small things? Why don't you just settle for what we have? Because God says, don't despise the day of small things. And I don't. I haven't. But God says, call upon me and I'll answer thee and show thee what? Great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That means you haven't experienced it in your life. And so it's been a long time since we've seen a great awakening that has rocked America since the turn of the 20th century. And some people have a theology, well, we can never see it again because we're living in the Laodicean age. I don't care. You can have an invasion into Laodicea with Philadelphia. You can have it. Listen, you just need to believe God and you need to trust God and to ask God. Our church is called the Scranton Revival Baptist Church. That means we have a name to live. Let's pray for it. Let's seek it. And thank God for men that are coming to the Revival Seekers prayer meeting to seek that one thing and to pray for that one thing like they did in the book of Acts, and they got what they wanted and got what they were praying for. Listen, these things may seem not real to you, but faith will lay hold of what is unreal. unreal, what is unexperienced, and say, I believe God and he will do it. I like that verse in the Psalms, believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Notice it doesn't say see to believe the goodness of the Lord. He said, I have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so lay hold of it by faith. By the way, when I think about that, we're going to preach on this in the next message. Look down at verse number 17 of Ephesians 3. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now that doesn't mean, well, you just claim it. Christ is dwelling in my heart. Now, this is different than the Holy Spirit dwelling in your heart. When he says Christ dwell in your heart, we'll get into that. It's different. But Christ dwell in your heart by faith. Some people say, well, Christ is dwelling in my heart and I claim that by faith. No, that's not what that's talking about. He's saying it's an experience of Christ being manifest to you, that he's so real you can reach out and touch him. That Christ is so real that he is motivating you to love him back because you're just getting to see him and realize who he is. And that is all part of revival and another step of revival. But it's to be claimed by faith. Not, oh, I have it. No, I'm going to experience it. I'm not experiencing it right now. Perhaps you're not experiencing Christ dwelling in your heart, manifesting himself to you. But you see it in the New Testament, where Peter said, whom having not seen, we love. And though we see him not now, we rejoice with what? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Do you have joy unspeakable tonight and full of glory? If you don't despair. Believe God for it. Ask God for it. Through the Son. And God can do it by the Holy Spirit who indwells your life. And so I'm just simply saying that this is what we're talking about here when we think about this thing called revival. And I want to get into the end of this thing now and look at Acts chapter 4. And look at the prayer for revival there, because there is a final prayer for revival that I want to end the message with tonight. And it says that when the Jerusalem church was going through persecution and the leaders were beaten and they came back to the church and prayed for revival power, Acts 4, 23 through 30, who did they address? First of all, they addressed God the Father for prayer for revival. It says it was first of all to the God of all creation. Here's what they said. Lord, thou art God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Now, why did they do that? Well, because if God made the whole universe in six 24-hour days out of nothing, can't God give revival? Can't God give power out of persecution? So they went and they addressed the God of all creation, the true and the living God. And the question is, not how big is your faith, how big is your God? Faith focuses in on the God of the Bible, who is the God of all creation. And we need to get back to the God of creation. We need to stop compromising with the world and coming up with some kind of... What do I call that? Theistic evolution, which is a heresy because it puts death before sin, and it's just a way to accommodate the teaching on evolution of the world. No, we need to get back to the Bible. God is the God of all creation. And then they address the Father, not only as the God of all creation in Acts, but it says in Acts 4, verse 25 and 26, who by the mouth of the servant, thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Now this is in Acts 4, 25 and 26. They were praying this and they were saying, not only are you the God of all creation, you're the God of the scripture. You're the God of the prophetic word of God. And they were quoting Psalm 2. Well, what is Psalm 2 referring to? When the whole world gathers together at the Battle of Armageddon. And the world fights Christ coming back. And being in, I don't care if it's Candace Owens or Tucker Carlson or whoever it is, Nick Fuentes or whoever it is, you're fighting against God saving Israel and putting the king on his holy hill. My vote is with God. My vote is with the scripture. And my job is to declare the word of God, not your replacement theology, which is a lie. And you know, so tonight, you know, we need to pray to the God who has all power, the God of all creation. And then we need to pray for the God of the scripture. And it's interesting, they quoted Psalm 2, which talks about the Battle of Armageddon. But now they're applying it to the heathen raging in that Pilate got together with Herod and tried to stop Jesus. And so they're saying the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered against the Lord and against his Christ. And so they're arguing for God to win a great victory there. In other words, if you want to get God on your side, let the battle be between the Lord and the enemies of the Lord. And that's the third thing. Not only the God of creation, not only the God of the Bible, but they address their prayer to the God of the Messiah of Israel, against whom satanic people were fighting when they crucified him, and now they were beating and imprisoning his apostles. Here's what they prayed: for of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. You know what I do when I see something like that? Lord, look at Turning Point USA. Look at Charlie Kirk, your servant, trying to turn America back to you. And now look what the enemies of the Lord did to Charlie Kirk. Look at his blood all poured out, Lord. God, what are they doing to your witness? But you're the God, when they did that to Stephen, Lord, you raised up a witness in Jerusalem. Lord, you raised up a witness in Saul of Tarsus. Lord, do it again. Lord, revive us again. God, do it again. You see, it's an argument to God to come through. Because if God doesn't come through, we're cooked. We need God to come through. And so tonight in this prayer meeting, I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you to look for these steps and stages of revival praying. And tonight, preparation for revival by going to the source of it, by fixing your faith upon the source of it, the great God of our salvation, the Father, who hears your prayer through his Son when you come in the name of the Son. And he does it by the power of his Holy Spirit. May God help you to seek revival. Let's bow for prayer, and every head bowed tonight. And we've been talking about preparation by going to the source.